Thank you, Maya. Divine science bases its teaching on the principle of the omnipresence of God. Our founders and our teachers and ministers, they tell us that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. They speak to us of the here-ness and the now-ness of a divine presence, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Now, for many of us, divine science was not our first exposure to a religious teaching. As little children, our parents or grandparents, they may have taken us to church or to Sunday school, passing on their accepted beliefs. Now, as adults, we may have stretched our religious muscles a wee bit, testing and trying different theories, philosophies, ones that go beyond what we had heard in that family church back home. And along the way, we discovered a few things. We noticed that many individuals say they believe in God, or at least they admit there is a possibility, there is a deity higher than the human form. Now, some consider this interesting information, not necessarily practical, but fascinating. They look at it, but they do not find it meaningful to life as they know it, and so they just leave it alone. Others will profess that, yes, indeed, there is a God out there somewhere, and if they could just get his attention, they are certain he would meet their needs and fulfill their dreams. These individuals seek God for what it is they think he can do for them, concerned mostly for the demonstrations, for the loaves and the fishes. While this is a place to begin, we cannot consider it the highest form of religious practice. Still, as I say, it is a place to begin. We've also noticed that there is that serious student. Now, this one is not so concerned with signs following. Through experience, he has discovered the temporariness of material things, and he has become a little dissatisfied with what the world considers to be its lure and its attraction. His desire is really to know a little bit more about life itself, about himself, about his purpose and his reason for existence. Where does he fit in the scheme of things? There must be more to life than what happens between the cradle and the grave of human existence. Yes, this individual believes there is a God, and he wants to find him. Surely God can reveal the secrets of life and answer his questions concerning himself. So he reasons that he will find God in the religious books, the ones written by scholars and holy men. He ponders the words of those modern-day metaphysicians. He looks for God in all of those classes and seminars, discussion groups. And then he busies himself thinking, studying, talking about God. Certain he will discover God through some method of reason and logic. While this method does bring a certain degree of information, it really is just surface learning. To know God aright, we must go deeper for true knowledge and understanding. Somehow we must find a way to include God in our lives as a very personal experience. This is an activity of the heart and of the soul. Yes, on our religious journey, we try many things in our attempt to find God. And you see, this is also the issue for us. Finding God is one thing, but knowing God aright, well, that is another matter. Reading all those books, studying, learning about God, it's helpful. Knowledge attained in this way, it provides good information, ideas, opinions about God. And when we consider what we have learned, we then develop certain perceptions and attitudes about God, simply as a result of our mental work and all of that studying, all of that talking and discussion. However, knowing God aright is a revelation of inner being. That individual, the one who wants a personal relationship with God, he must develop the art of listening. And he does so through prayer and meditation. He does not simply want to think about God. He wants to feel his presence, to sense him and know him. He does not want to keep God somewhere up in the sky. He wants to walk with God and talk with God in a very personal way. When this particular individual walks into a Divine Science church, he readily accepts the basis of the teaching, the principle of the omnipresence of God. He understands that word omni, it means unlimited. That omnipresence means God present in all places and at all times. And so he begins to reason. If God is omnipresent, then that must mean he is right here, right now, available and at hand. Now, this being the case, surely it will not be too difficult to find God and get to know him in this church. He visualizes himself having those long chats with God, walking together, hand in hand, as the light unto the world, making all of those crooked places straight. Well, he soon discovers that this is not as easy as it might have first appeared to be. Before he could practice the presence of God and live the truth, he had to know a little bit more about truth and exactly what would constitute God's presence. He had heard it said that God is. But exactly what was God's isness? How does one define isness? Well, we understand that when we apply that word is to something, it means it has a specific qualification of relationship. One that is equal in meaning, such as God is love. He has read that God is absolute, is vast and unlimited. However, how does one measure these things? He came to realize that he could not fit material definition into spiritual reality. We cannot measure or contain what is of God. So this newly minted divine scientist now understood if he is to walk and talk with God, he could not do so as that human being. To enter into God's presence, he must go as his child, as the spiritual self. To be one with a spiritual presence, he had to know himself in that way. He could no longer continue to walk as that man of the dust, as that one of flesh and blood. He certainly could no longer rely on his ability to think and to reason. He could no longer trust his so-called wisdom and judgment. The human qualities are simply not large enough to do God's work. God gave dominion to his child, Christ, not to this man of flesh and blood. The newly declared divine scientist, well, he had work to do, and it had to do with himself. So he decided to begin with the realization that God is. God is life, and God is here. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are permitted no further judgment. That's it. God is. Now it is a matter of training ourselves to have no other opinion whatsoever. But remember, I did not say that this was going to be easy. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, I am the light unto the world. He did not say, I will study, practice, read, and learn, so that then I may become the light. Jesus spoke as the spiritual self, right where he was, which allowed him to claim what already is. Jesus understood that as his birthright, he was heir to all the isness of God. There was no developing, no cultivating, unfolding, or growing into anything. Simply the acceptance that God is, and there is none else. Now, being of God, we may claim all that the Father has. The Son in the sky simply is, and we know it by its rays and its warmth. The Son of God simply is, and we know him by his light and his love. God's isness includes the fruit of the Spirit. Harmony is. This is the truth of being, not should be or shall be, but eternally is. God's isness includes love, joy, and peace, not unfolding or becoming. No adding to and no taking away. These are already established as the truth of being. They are eternal to the heavens. They are everlasting, absolute, and changeless. Now, the purpose of a creator is to express itself as its creation. And the function of the creation is to serve as the creator's expression. And when we know the truth of our being, we walk and we talk with God, fulfilling his purpose and his plan for us. Spiritual sense reveals that right where that erroneous appearance claims to be, there the kingdom of God is, already intact. Back to Jesus. When he said, I have overcome the world, he did not mean that he had somehow rearranged it or added anything to it. Jesus knew that God is, and that was his sufficiency. It is only the human being who works in that way. The human being is the one who attempts to change his life through mental manipulation and physical work. If there is a problem with a relationship, the desire is to fix the other person, demanding that they become the individual we think they should be. We spend a great deal of time undoing or redoing our work, rearranging what we have put in place, simply hoping for a more desirable outcome. Now, we have a name for this activity. We call it learning by trial and error. Although sometimes we do not seem to really learn from what we have done. We simply form patterns of repetition, digging ourselves a little deeper into that place that we say we do not want to be. Now, some individuals refer to the human experience as a dream state, and that one day we wake up, we discover it was all a dream. Entirely separate from the belief and dreams of material living is the life divine. Back to Jesus. Jesus knew of that life, and nothing else could touch him or move him. On his part, there was no desire or attempt to heal, to help, improve, or change any part of the human condition. Jesus knew there was no truth to that dream, so therefore there really is nothing to sustain it. Jesus lived in the consciousness of God's isness. This consciousness revealed there was nothing to fix and nothing to correct. The way out of a dream is to wake up and discover it was a dream. A dream has no reality, so there is no need to try to fix or correct anything that has no existence. Let us not tamper with the human scene, but rather, let us turn from it. Now, I admit the world does have a certain lure and attraction, and there are many times that we are tempted to become involved in what it is we are looking at. Now, it might be a very pleasant scene, or perhaps the jarring words of the daily news. Regardless, it did get our attention. And our human nature wants to do something with it. It's not always easy to turn from the human scene. But by now we have studied and we have learned a little bit. And so that little voice inside us reminds us that we of ourselves can do nothing. So there we are again, going in and out. Entertaining our personal sense of identification, sometimes as that man of the dust, and other times as the child of God. On a Sunday morning, when we come together, we may profess that God is the only presence and the only power. In our statement of being, we claim that we are one with this presence and power. We bear witness to the truth that God is, rejoicing in the isness of God, omnipresent and at hand. Now, I do think that most of us, if not all of us, believe that this is so. But do we actually feel it? And do we actually know it? Are we that quickened soul, stirred in recognition of who we truly are? Or are we that one still traveling the road of becoming, developing, unfolding into a new idea of us? Personally, I think, until we attain that mind that was in Christ Jesus, the one that gives no thought, as our state of consciousness, until that time, we continue to go in and out. Now, the Christ self establishes our identity. It's already there and in place. However, as Dr. Salazar pointed out, we go to God in bits and pieces. I think this would describe us very well. I've mentioned before that Joel Goldsmith told us that no one jumps into heaven and stays there. And so we practice. Many of us have been practicing for a very long time. When we consider what God is, contemplate his isness, we recognize this is an activity, one that takes place in us now, at this moment. This activity was not just available for those people who lived at the time of Jesus when he walked this earth plane. God does not play favorites. He did not just bestow his blessings on those Hebrew children, but to people of all time into eternity. So here we are again. I consider all of us who are here this morning to be that serious student. You know, the one no longer concerned with the signs following. Now, it's true that at first the desire may have been to find God. I think to a certain degree we have done so. Our purpose was to learn about life, about ourselves, but especially about our relationship with God. And in this process, we discovered that God is, and that God is life, your life and my life. We also learned that we could not allow this information to remain in our head. No, we had to realize it. Our feeling nature, that place where we know, sense, and feel God as our very life. So it's really time to make this lesson practical to us, that is, to incorporate the essence of our being into our daily living, allowing it to live us and move us. Give no thought. We ask the question, how do we allow this to work for us? In our times of looking around, exactly what do we see and what do we practice? When we are faced with an incompatible, erroneous belief, let us try this. Instead of struggling to remove it, to rise above it, deny it, or overcome it, let us simply stand still. That is, let us refrain from thinking, from judgment, from applying labels of good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant. Do not be moved by that appearance. Stand still. Watch the result of this calm, clear trust in the isness and the allness of God. If God is the only presence, the only power, then there can be no opposite. When our activity is the work of human perception, we simply are entertaining a false sense of what we are looking at. But when we lift our eyes on high, we behold the isness of God at work. And there is no other activity, no other effort. This isn't easy. I know it's not. However, let us not give up. Let us not give up on ourselves. Our Christ self does not give up on us. Let us not forget that the human self is the one of the dream state. Nothing to support it beyond its expiration date. Do not try to wake it up. Do not give it any attention. Before long, you'll even forget it was ever there. We may remain in this world. Oh yes, we probably will, but we are no longer of it. What is left is Christ standing on that mountaintop, beholding himself as he truly is. God is, we are of God. The Bible tells us that right now are we the sons and the daughters of God. We do not conform ourselves to the world, but transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. And that is the reason for today's lesson. This morning we have the opportunity to turn from the human scene and know us as God knows us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we pause and we give recognition. God is. Beside Him, there is none else. In a time of stillness, we feel His presence. In the solitude of the moment, we rest in His assurance. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. It is my good pleasure to give you my kingdom. All that I have is thine. The comfort comes. We know we are not alone. The world will still have its trials and its tribulations. However, they will not move or touch the one who abides in the secret place of the Most High. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we carry God with us as an activity of individual consciousness. The eye lifted on high, it beholds only Him. Only the pure in heart shall see God. In quietness, in confidence, shall be our strength. God is omnipresent, ever available. In love and gratitude, I say thank you, Father, for revealing yourself in this way. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.